This is Donnie Bloomfield, Bloomberg biotech reporter in our 1200 studios in Boston with Jim Collins, professor at the Broad Institute of Harvard and MIT, here to talk about his paper published about a new way to diagnose the Zika virus. Jim, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me on the show, Donnie.
Just what is this new diagnostic method? How does it work? And then we can get into some of the details and applications.
Sure. What we've developed is a rapid, low-cost diagnostic test that uses synthetic biology components. And that is, we've shown that you can take basically the inner machinery of a living cell, spot it on paper, freeze-dry it, and then rehydrate it sometime later without any loss of activity. And we've been able to use this technology to create biosensors that can detect parts of the Zika virus in human blood.
There's a component of this that uses the gene editing approach, CRISPR. It has the components of CRISPR in it. What role are they playing in this process?
We've been able to engineer CRISPR-Cas9, the new gene editing tool that is catching all of biotech by rage, and showed you could use it as part of the diagnostic specifically for strain discrimination. And that is, we show that you can use it to determine whether you have the Asian strain, the African strain, or the American strain of Zika.
So on
and
this,
perhaps most critically, we show that you can freeze-dry Cas9 and the guide RNA and then rehydrate them without loss of activity. And perhaps most interestingly, we showed, in fact, that for reasons we don't yet understand, the freeze-drying process actually boosts the activity of some of the Cas9 components.
So you're freeze-drying these biotech or biotechnology circuits, right? And then
yes.
Where does the CRISPR come in?
CRISPR would come in as a second component. So if we had a positive test that our sample indicated there's Zika present, we can then further process the sample using CRISPR, where CRISPR will then be engineered to target strain-specific differences in the genome, the RNA genome of the virus. If those strain-specific differences are there, the CRISPR cuts the RNA and thereby disables the sensor component that we developed. If it's not there and thus representative of the other strain, it leaves it intact and gives us a positive output.
What's so important about knowing which strain of Zika is, or do you think of this more as a proof of concept about using CRISPR as a diagnostic tool in this manner?
I think right now we view it more as a proof of concept. When one moves toward certain therapeutic interventions, be it a vaccine, you certainly would want to know what strain of a pathogen is present. I think from an epidemiological standpoint, it's always useful to know what the person might have, as you can then track the spread and the further development of a given outbreak. But at present, we did it primarily for proof of concept demonstrations.
Is anyone considering spinning off a company or investing in this as a commercial or philanthropic opportunity so that we can get these patches out there onto the, in the field?
Yes. Yes, on all counts. I was just in a meeting today with members of the Wyss Institute, so the Wyss Institute at Harvard, where I have a lab and I'm on faculty, and where much of the work around the platform was developed, is quite keen to further develop the platform and to spin out either a for-profit and or a non-profit entity that can move these diagnostic platforms out into the world to address outbreaks and to address also other complex disease conditions.
Could these paper diagnostics or similar objects be used in a therapeutic sense as well, so that if it detects the presence of a pathogen or detects the presence of some kind of object that we want to intervene with, that it could then inject a drug or a therapeutic or something else that can be programmed into these circuits?
I think it's feasible to consider using the sensors we developed as the front end of an integrated diagnostic therapeutic. In that case, I would likely push the technology towards a living diagnostic and living therapeutic, and that is programming a microbe or other living organism to contain such sensors, and should they detect, in this case, the pathogen of interest, then produce, release, secrete the therapeutic of interest. And it's an area of research that's quite active in our lab where we're actually engineering bacteria, for example, to detect and treat cholera.
How would that work?
In this case, it works in that we've engineered L. lactis, so a type of bacterium that you find in yogurt, endowing it with circuits that would detect the presence of small molecules produced by cholera. Once those are detected, the circuits are then flipped on to produce antimicrobial peptides that are tagged in such a way that when they're produced by the bacterium and secreted by the bacterium, they target cholera and either neutralize cholera or kill the cholera.
Would this then itself be infectious in the sense that it would spread through the population ideally?
No. In this case, we would engineer these to be very safe, engineered bacteria that you would take in the form of probiotic or perhaps spiked into yogurt.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for this. This was really helpful and interesting. That was Jim Collins, professor at the Broad Institute, the Wyss Institute, and at MIT.
Thank you, Donnie.